Hi everyone, welcome to this month's ALIA Graphic Roundup podcast for March. As we are a national group, we would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of this land and pay respect to elders past, present, and all First Nations people across the land and thank them for their rich storytelling traditions. I'm Jade and I'm joining you from Bidjigal country today, and I'm here with Beck. Hello, Beck.
Hello, I'm joining you from Kwandanuka country.
Amazing. And Beck, what have you been reading lately?
So I am on a big cozy fantasy binge. I will, like, it's a lifelong binge, but it's increased recently. I'm kind of deep into some intense subjects at university. So to balance that out, I am into anything kind of childlike and wonderful and easy. So my first one I've been reading is a manga that's been out for a while. I'll try and pronounce it. It's Hakume and Mikoichi. And basically
Cool.
It's like adorable little, like, imagine borrowers, imagine Ariadne, like little people. They, you know, ride on bugs. They, like, you know, use on leaves as umbrellas and all that sort of stuff. So it's just really adorable. It's an easy read. So I love that. And then to kind of complement that, I'm doing a reread of the Tea Dragon Society, which is just my all-time favorite series. It's just so beautiful. Kay O'Neill is just, like, probably one of my gateway drugs into junior graphic novels because it's just so beautiful and you can just read it again and again. So
Such a comfort read.
it's just the colors, the story, like, it's still addressing, like, and I find a lot of these are still addressing their bigger themes, but they do it in such, like, a comforting and beautiful way that it's, I don't know, it's just so adorable. So I'm always after more. So if anyone does have any comments or want to email in, I'm after the most cozy fantasy that is out there in manga, graphic novel, in any form. So that's where I'm at the moment.
Oh, so wonderful. I feel like I'm on, like, the opposite journey just at the moment.
I know, I just saw your notes there and I was like, oh, okay.
Usually I'm all for the cozy, wholesome reads, but I don't know what it is at the moment. I think maybe because I'm waiting for the new volume of Saga at my local library. I've been on a big Brian K. Vaughan bender lately. Kind of blitzed through all of Why the Last Man recently, which is a fairly challenging read.
That's not short at all. Those are
It's
chunky
not
volumes.
short. But that being said, though, they grab you. So I think as soon as you, like, read one, it's really easy to speed through it. But yeah, it wasn't always the easiest. And yeah, I just started Runaways recently as well. I think I'm just about to finish volume two. Have you read either before, Beck?
I've read some of Why the Last Man, very much enjoyed it, but again, being such big chunky ones, I haven't continued. Runaways I haven't read, but Saga, obviously a huge fan. I have not been good and waited for my library copy. I read it online on an app, which, I mean, it's still good. It's still a checkout, but I should have given the checkout to my own library service, but I couldn't wait.
Exactly. I don't know. Runaways hasn't really grabbed me yet, but man, there's plenty of volume, so I'm sure I'll get there. Yeah, and then in addition to the sort of very intensive reading, I also discovered Salt Magic by Hope Larson and Rebecca Mock, and oh my goodness, it's like if Studio Ghibli was sort of based in, like, historical America. It's
Oh my
really random.
gosh.
Yeah, it's so whimsical, and just the fantasy, well, the magical realism, I guess, is really, really spectacular. So, oh, it made me cry. I read it and then I was like, actually, I could read that again instantly. I read it the second time and there was something at the very end that I didn't pick up on the first time, and it made me cry. It was
Oh
so
my gosh.
beautiful.
That's just moved so far up my TBR now, because I've seen the cover. It's got a beautiful cover so many times, but I've never actually kind of engaged with it. But now I think I've got it.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. So, yeah, any new titles that have sort of taken your fancy this month, Beck?
Well, of course, following my cozy fantasy binge, The Baker and the Bard is literally called a cozy fantasy adventure and coming out. I needed to know nothing about this except to see the cover, and I ordered it from my library immediately. And then now going through and, like, reading all the comps for it and everything, it says perfect fans of Tea Dragon Society, Legends and Lattes, and Animal Crossing, and those are all three things that I'm obsessed with. So I am very highly anticipating this one. And then one that doesn't look as cozy, but just like really grabs me is The Fox Maidens by Robin Ha, which is a sapphic fantasy adventure novel, graphic novel inspired by Korean folklore. So that just sounds super interesting to me. So I will be keeping an eye out for both of those. What about yourself?
Yeah, fantastic. I don't know what it is, but I haven't been able to find anything by Robin Ha in my local libraries. So I hope that changes because I want to read everything.
Because she's won quite a lot of awards, like, yeah, so okay.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Yeah, so I don't know. There's so many things, but I'm particularly interested in No Remorse, the illustrated true stories of Lemmy and Motorhead. So, oh my goodness, there are so many contributors, artists and stories with this one. It's kind of overwhelming. It's got a foreword by Dave Grohl, so already, a lot of sort of rock and roll in there. Ozzy Osbourne, Lars Ulrich, Slash, Chrissie Hynde, even some wrestlers like Triple H and that. So I don't know what that's about, but yeah, it seems like a really interesting sort of tribute to Lemmy and his life and music. Yeah, I just found it really interesting in terms of I feel like there's a recent sort of trend into band or artist biopics in graphic novel format. It was like Nick Cave, oh, so many I can't even sort of think at the moment. Have you heard of Too Many Others, Beck?
Oh, I feel like, yeah, there is that crossover. And a lot of, like you said, musical artists that are creating these graphic novels,
Yes.
which again, the names escape me, but I guess it's just like a really interesting way for them to express themselves without having to get like a ghostwriter necessarily. Like they can engage with art and artists and express themselves in this different way that's a little bit more, I don't know, under, it's almost undercover, you know, because it's not such a huge thing. I feel like if this came out as like a non-fiction novel, it would be getting a lot of press, but because it's a graphic novel, it feels like a little bit more like grunge and underground, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Other ones that sort of come to mind, there was one on Bowie a few years ago, yeah, which looked really beautiful. I think there was one on Brian Epstein and the Beatles maybe as well. There's so many I need to check out. But in addition to that, I'm also really interested in the new book by Blue Deliquanti, so Adversary. I had a look at that one. So it looks like a graphic novella about connection and failure, grief and responsibility, and the effect of world-changing events on the soul of the individual. And I think that sort of little bit on world-changing events might be alluded to in its really beautiful cover. I really like the cover for this one. And yeah, I read, I think, was it Across a Field of Stars? That one. Oh, sorry, Across a Field of Starlight. And that is just such a beautiful, immersive, colorful book. And the world building is quite incredible as well. So, yeah, really looking forward to new stuff there.
Another one that might make you cry, it seems like.
Probably. I'm sensing a theme.
Yep, and that's okay. Okay, looking at some of the news items. So I was coming out, like there's a lot of, like it's actually quite a meaty news month, I think. So a few things that really drew my attention, being that I am very collections focused, is a new article by No Fly No Tights, which always amazing articles and very well thought out about leading superhero collections. And I just think that is such a hard topic. Anything fleeting when it comes to manga or graphic novels is like, it's one of the number one questions I kind of get as someone who is works within graphic novels and manga and collections. And people just super struggle with this. So this article is really good and gives you like very hands-on practical guides, which I find is good. You know, sometimes it's like a bit of an amorphous, like, I don't know, just feel it out, you know, but as library people, we like to know like the facts, like what do we need to do? Give me dates, give me guidelines. So I think it does a good job of that. The only thing that did make me very sad is in there, one of the contributors was talking about that they are re-leading the Rat Queens because it wasn't popular in their library anymore. And I was like, oh, I mean, you gotta do it. You like space is king in a library. But yeah, as a huge Rat Queens fan, I was like, oh, that's very interesting. So that's the main thing. The only other thing kind of with that is there's an interesting article about middle grade manga, and that there's a lot of US publishers kind of filling in that gap because there's not a lot of middle grade manga that we're finding kind of in this market, and they made some interesting points about a lot of it not like there was manga being created kind of for that age range in Japan, but it doesn't necessarily translate because it's a very different kind of childhood experience, I guess. But yeah, I just find it interesting. My junior graphic novel collection always goes really well, and at the moment I don't have enough manga to have manga separated out from that, so it's interfiled. I'd be interested to see like if there's a boom with all this other junior graphic novel boom, and then if that became its own kind of beast.
Yeah, absolutely. I really love this article as well. There's a particular sentence that I like, which is librarians are keenly aware that middle grade readers crave manga, especially
Yes.
crave, definitely.
It is. They're just like ferocious beasts for manga and graphic novels. Like, I was talking at stats with some library people recently, and it was like, of all the collections, this one is always at least 50% checked out, which, like, as you know, like library services, that's not always necessarily the case with most collections. And coming up to school holidays, I think we're going to see a huge boost of that. So the more we can feed, they're wanting to read, we want to feed that. So that's just another thing to look into is as this manga comes out and where to put it.
Absolutely. And I think particularly for people that are new to manga, it can be difficult to sort of, I think, initially understand the intricacies of age groups and audiences for manga. So on the back of the book, a lot of the time there's the age range, which is really helpful. But yeah, it can be really hard for librarians to find the right sort of graphic, like manga for the age group that they're sort of working
Yes.
with. So this
Yeah. And
article
then,
really.
yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so in terms of news, something that caught my eye as well, which is a big announcement of a lot of graphic novel adaptations happening really soon. So Anansi Boys, so by Neil Gaiman, which is a companion book to American Gods. This will surely be adapted to a TV and comic miniseries published by Dark Horse, which is really interesting, particularly as I don't believe Anansi Boys is a graphic novel, so it's a novel. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with Neil Gaiman being a graphic novel writer, having written a book first. So that will be really cool. And yeah, it's really, oh my gosh, exciting to see that Naruto could be coming to the big screen as a live action film. Are you a Naruto fan?
I think I've read the first few. Like, I when I first got into manga and in my library, I tried to read some, but it's something I'm very aware of because they take up a lot of space on my shelves in all my library services. That's why I found it very interesting that it was like, if you don't have it, or like it might be time to invest, and we still have it, and it's they've stood up. If you can get the 3-in-1 volumes, they last like I think a lot of ours are from 2014, 15, so that goes to show they're very well loved. But yeah, no. So I haven't personally read it, but it's still very well engaged within the library.
Definitely. I've got it on my one on my shelf somewhere over here. So yeah, Naruto is a series that you probably haven't been able to avoid really in libraries. They do take up a lot of space, as you say. And also with spin-offs, including Boruto, there are so many volumes. And as a sort of teen, I particularly remember it was tricky to find to sort of read the series in order because not all libraries have all the volumes. So yeah, now might be a good time to sort that out. But yeah, it's really interesting to see possibly the effect of the live action One Piece sort of coming out and rippling out with even more sort of manga graphic novel adaptations into film. So that'll be a really, really exciting one. And yeah, in addition to this, so Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips' Criminal series is also being adapted to a TV series by Prime, and that's a really exciting one. I haven't actually read this series, but yeah, I think it just follows on that sort of trend of graphic novels just going from strength to strength and being adapted in all sorts of forms. Yeah. What else? I feel, Beck, that we are sort of rushing through everything, or we're just.
Oh.
Yeah, so do you have anything else?
I think that's mostly it for me. It's just, we're very lucky with the amount that's coming out at the moment. I was very excited with these adaptation announcements as well. Anansi Boys is one of my favorite books. Anything Gaiman done is amazing. To give away my tip for Naruto, if you're buying for your collection, I haven't seen it on BW's website, but if you are not onto this tip, let me tell you, collections people now. BW often gets in box sets of manga, and they're at quite a good prices. So if you have the ability to go outside of a library supply and get them there, I'm assuming with this announcement that they will be getting it. So I am keeping an eye on BW. I probably am shooting myself in the foot and telling other people to do that. But it's a good way to kind of source these gaps and to kind of get these collections fast and kind of affordably. And then you get a cool box you can give away to like a teen who's very excited, you know. So I've done that with like a lot of the Dragon Balls and everything like that. So that's my tip.
Nice. Yeah, that's fantastic. I think to add to that, so an adaptation in a different way is something else that came out this month was Screen Rant put together a list of the 10 best comic book adaptations of classic literature. And I thought this was super interesting in terms of the tension sometimes, I guess, between graphic novels and school libraries in particular, but any library really, in terms of what's a real book. And I think graphic novel adaptations of some classic books or historical books can be such an amazing learning tool with that. So that's a great little list. Do you have any sort of particular favorites of literature adaptations into graphic novels?
I know
Like,
that
what are
we
you
have quite a no, I know, I'm just like, hold on a bit. No, we do
guys?
actually have a lot of these already in our collection, and I've tried to hold on to them. They definitely obviously don't get checked out as much as your One Pieces and Dragon Balls and all of that. So I know we've got a lot of like Jane Austen adaptations, and I'm not even really sure if they're on that list. I'm just hoping that. But it's just nice to have there. I see that Jude is on the list. I don't know. I love Jude. I wouldn't say it's for most people to read because it's, you know, it's like it's a hard slog. So I think with that movie coming out, I don't know, like it's an adult graphic novel, but I think it's a more approachable way to attack kind of the Dune universe without having to kind of slog your way through like multiple pages of description of sand blowing over in like in the wind sort of thing. So it's, yeah, like you say, it's a great kind of segue to engage with the story without having to like read the whole novel.
Yeah, definitely. And even sort of retellings, I suppose. So something that's not on this list that I read fairly recently-ish was Jo, so an adaptation of Little Women, and then in brackets, sort of a graphic novel by Kathleen Gross. And that was a really cool sort of, I guess, queer retelling of Little Women, and I really loved that. And it was within like in sort of present day almost as well. So there were so many influences reshaping that story for a brand new audience, which was very cool and very engaging, I think.
And what a smart way to kind of, you know, someone, like I said, like the school libraries or anything, they read that and then they're like, well, this is something. And so it follows on, we did this a little bit with, like, I don't know if kids still get assigned these kind of big heavy textbooks to read, like, like that, but like Little Women. But yeah, it's kind of a good follow on to that.
Definitely. And actually, while I'm thinking of it now, sorry, I'm going off on a tangent here,
Yeah.
is I'm a big fan of the Babysitter's Club graphic novels as well. I think one of my favorites, I can't remember which volume it was in, but at one point a character was getting ready to go on holiday and there was a big spread of the items that she was going to pack in her bag. And I just thought it was so interesting. There's no smartphones, no headphones, no chargers, no anything. It was all very practical and creative things to take along. And I just thought, what an interesting way to convey to young people what things were like sort of going on a holiday back when the Babysitter's Club sort of novels came out. So yeah, that was really cool as well.
That's brilliant. Yeah. And yeah, they are fascinating because I grew up reading the Babysitter's Club to now see that. And when I went into this position and buy junior graphic novels, I was like, oh, Babysitter's Club. And they're like, yeah. And watching those statistics, like they really get checked out still. So it's just so cool to see that kind of come around for another generation. And there's so many things doing that where it's like, well, we'll just adapt it in this way. And why not if it gets people engaged with it? And how cool, like, that there's probably parents out there who are like, well, I grew up with this and now I'm going to read this graphic novel with my kid. Like, I just find that so cool.
Absolutely. I love it. So wholesome. We're back to
Yes.
the wholesome, comfy reads.
Yes, it all goes full circle.
Great. So, is there anything to add before we wrap up?
I think that's it. I think it's just, yeah, it's a big month of news and releases, and it's only going to keep getting better this year, I think.
Absolutely. So, thank you so much, Beck, for joining me. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out our new website, which is still under construction, but we're getting there. There, you can find our complete blog post for this month with all the news and many more new releases. So, keep an eye out on our socials as we'll be making some big announcements in March. Be sure to keep picking up comics and graphic novels, and happy reading, everyone. Thank
Happy
you.
reading.